We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hello, howdy, welcome, greetings, salutations, and Tuesday alohas to you as we enter into the most heavily congested, not to mention most heavily commuted hour of the Bobby Mack Show, the 5 o'clock follies, with yours truly, the attack dog of the right, the bombastic loudmouth of the South, and as always, your input is invited, encouraged, and welcomed. Here's how you join me and be a part of the conversation. Just grab your phone, use the Ingalls Advantage talk line number, 800-347-1063. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307. And my email address, bob@1063word.com. It is the first Tuesday of the month. It is the first Tuesday of March, which means it is time for Tuesday with Timmons. That, of course, our 4th District Congressional Representative, Congressman Will Timmons. Congressman, how are you today, sir?
Bob, good afternoon. I'm doing great.
You find yourself right in the middle of ground zero of the all the attention paid to the political spectrum right now, and that would be everything that's going on in the House. Is this all buzzing about your head as you try and get settled in up there, everything with AOC and Omar and the rest of the other freshmen there?
It really has been a wild start to this Congress, and with Cohen last week and the Mueller report coming to a close here in the next few weeks, and the judiciary chair trying to subpoena everything that he can think of. It really has just been a wild start.
Yeah, it truly has been. What a way to get your feet on the ground. You mentioned Jerry Nadler. He has a history with Donald Trump. They go way back in New York. Mr. Nadler, Fat Jerry, as the president has derisively referred to him on Twitter, he's got his axes sharpened here, doesn't he?
Well, he does, and I unfortunately, I think all of the things that we're talking about right now, whether it's AOC, Omar Tlaib, or Chairman Nadler, this is all playing into a great 2020 election for us.
Yeah.
These people are completely out of touch with reality, and I think all we got to do is keep trying to point the country in the right direction, work hard, and let them self-destruct.
Yeah, callers had previously made that point, and I had as well. I think there's going to be tremendous blowback in November of 2020 on this. I mean, if you look at, for instance, how secretive President Obama was about everything in his history, he was the original Manchurian, or if you prefer, mystery candidate. Nobody could see any of his school records from Columbia or the college he attended in California before that, or even back to his high school days in Hawaii. And now here is Jerry Nadler, and he wants to drag in members of the president's family. You know, I kind of thought, Congressman, that when you're the president, or I guess it's only when you're a Democrat president, that your children were kind of not exactly not a target, but out of decorum, you didn't drag them down to Capitol Hill to testify. But apparently Nadler thinks that's okay as well.
Well, it's only been 2 months since I've been sworn in, but decorum is something that this body seems to be lacking.
Yeah, sadly, that's true. What have you been up to? Give us kind of a thumbnail of what has transpired in the life of your professional career in Washington since the last time we spoke.
Well, we really have gotten our feet under us. We have a really busy Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I think our record now is 23 meetings, and it's from everything. I just had a meeting with a number of people from Milliken. Before that, we had diabetes. Before that, we had the YMCA. So it's just one thing after the other. I'm looking forward to a meeting this week with Ambassador John Bolton. Look forward to hearing what he has to say. But it really is just one thing after the other. And our team is just in a great position to hit the ground running, and we're off to a good start.
It's good to know. Ambassador Bolton has been a guest on this show on a couple of occasions, and I had an opportunity to meet with him and talk with him a couple of years ago at an event here in Greenville, and you may have met him at that time as well. He's a very bright guy. And when it comes to the president's philosophy of foreign policy, which is America first, he's right there on board with that.
He may be the original author of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. So what is on the horizon going forward? Is there going to be a vote either in the House or in the Senate about these anti-Semitic tweets that have come out of this freshman member of the chamber?
I believe that they're currently debating that right now amongst the Democrat leadership. I would certainly be in favor of it, but I think that some of the more fringe parts of their party, namely Ocasio-Cortez and Tlaib, I think that they're going to be very loud. And you got, you know, some of the older school guys, Chairman Engel, for example, and this is just unacceptable. And anti-Semitism should be universally condemned, but it seems that a couple of these freshmen don't feel that way. So they're very loud, and they get a lot of press coverage, and they're not afraid to say what they think, no matter how much time they spend to determine if they want to say it.
Yeah. Did you happen to see the story? Interesting interview that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, her mom, did with the Daily Mail in the UK. She gave an extensive interview, and she said something very interesting, that she had moved from New York to Florida because of high taxes.
you can't make it up. You
no.
can't make it up.
No, you can't. There's a delicious irony to that. I wonder if she is aware of the politics of her daughter in Washington.
Well, you know, Bob, I'm on the budget committee, and we've been having a lot of these conversations surrounding deficit spending and our out-of-control debt and
right.
just really the lack of financial solvency of the United States of America. And in the same conversation where Democrats are condemning tax reform, which has made us competitive in the global economy, and it's going to grow our economy and grow our tax base, and it's just great for this country, those people are promoting the Green New Deal at a $90-plus trillion price tag, and Medicare for All at a $30-plus trillion price tag. So it just seems that people, I mean, you know, I don't want to say they've lost their mind, but I don't know how you can complain about it. Potentially $1.6 trillion cost when you're promoting $120 trillion cost.
Yeah, yeah, it is. I think you described it accurately. They have lost their minds. And I believe that the never-ending attacks on Donald Trump personally, as well as on his presidency, are going to come back and bite these folks right in the gluteus maximus. I mean, could there be a more stark dichotomy between the proposals of President Trump, make America great again, the economy is surging, unemployment is at record levels, black unemployment, historic lows, Hispanic unemployment at historic lows, and here are the Democrats talking about what a terrible place America is, and we need to turn it into some kind of socialist tyranny, like for instance, Venezuela?
It really has been frustrating to see the way that the president has been attacked and his policy has been attacked, but I do believe that the Mueller investigation is going to be released in the near future, or at least completed, and there is no evidence of collusion, and the only thing that was found is ancillary issues of not telling the truth or minor issues and nothing to do with collusion. So I'm excited about that, and I think that that's going to be an important turning point, and obviously there's 12 or 13 Democrats now. There'll probably be 20 by the end of the day vying for the Democratic nomination, and they're going to be pulling each other so far left. It's going to be Green New Deal this, Medicare for All that, and I just think it's going to be great for us come November in 2020.
I think so, too. I mean, they're all, as you mentioned, trying to out-left each other. Bloomberg, the former mayor of New York, did say today that he is not going to run. Hillary finally, apparently, sniffed the caffeine and recognized that her time has passed. But we've still got people like Hickenlooper who are going to toss their hat into the ring. So let them devour themselves in the primary process, and then we'll see who's left standing at the end. If it's Bernie or whomever it may be, it's going to be fascinating to watch. And I think there's going to be a great deal of blood spilled amongst the Democrat presidential contenders along the way.
I think you're exactly right, Bob, and it really is going to be a very interesting campaign cycle. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to doing everything I can to help take back the House and get a Republican speaker. And, we're going in the right direction. We just got to keep pushing hard. And don't forget that this is literally the future of our country, and it's worth fighting for.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? Because it seems as if we just got through with the last primary process and the election that sent you to Washington, and now you turn right around and it'll be here before you know it in 2020, and you've got another campaign to run again.
Well, that's exactly right. And I think that a lot of the dysfunction in Washington is based on this. Everybody's running for reelection. Nobody's trying to legislate and do their job. And that's one of the good things. So I'm on the Select Committee for the Modernization of Congress, and we're trying to figure out ways to facilitate this legislative process given the perpetual election environment. One of the things is biennial budgeting. So we're not spending money in the second year of a two-year Congress.
Right.
We've already determined how that will be spent, and we can just continue to legislate. And that takes some of the politics out of spending. But again, we got to find a way to work really together to fix these big problems. We got $22 trillion worth of debt. We got 12 plus million people in this country illegally, and our healthcare system is taking up over half of our federal budget. So, we're not going to be able to fix these problems without changing the way that we're approaching it.
Yeah, big challenges for sure. Congressman William Timmons joining me from D.C. this afternoon. Will, thanks very much for your time. I appreciate it. And we're going to be doing this the first Tuesday of every month from now on. And I look forward to speaking to you again after April Fool's Day, where hopefully we won't find any surprises there.
Bob, great to be with you. Thank you for having me, and I'll look forward to next time.
Appreciate it. Congressman William Timmons joining us this afternoon for Timmons Tuesday. 17 after 5 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Take a quick break here and then be right back with more as we cruise on here on Tuesday in the 5 o'clock follies. It's a man in motion.
All right, Dan.
5:22 here, the Bobby Mack Show. 5 o'clock follies rolling on this afternoon. I mentioned Bloomberg has now said he's out as a potential Democrat presidential candidate. Hillary, of course, told a local TV station up in suburban Westchester, I guess, in New York, that she also is not going to be a candidate. No kidding. Look, I mean, back in the 1950s, the Democrats were recruiting General Dwight David Eisenhower, the Supreme Commander of Allied Forces in World War II, to be their presidential candidate. And Ike turned him down and ran instead as a Republican. So the Democrats ran Adlai Stevenson, senator from Illinois, against him. And Stevenson was a very bright guy. He was the old-time expression to describe somebody like Adlai Stevenson was an egghead. And not merely because he was bald, but because he was an intellectual. He was, you know, in the school of Woodrow Wilson, that sort of thing. And later, as Obama painted himself to be, although Obama's not, he was an ersatz intellectual. But in any event, Eisenhower cleaned Stevenson's clock in 52. And then 1956... what did the Democrats do? They ran Adlai Stevenson against Ike again. So, you know, how many lessons do you have to learn? But apparently that one, they figured, you know, the shelf life of Hillary had finally expired. But there's still plenty of them out there. Biden continues to phone his friends. Hey, you know, don't forget about me. Stand up, Chuck. Make sure you save some campaign dollars for me. I'm going to be in there. You don't want to give it all to Kamala Harris and Spartacus, Cory Booker, and Castro, the guy from Texas, and all the other morons that are running. As of right now, former Vice President Joe Biden, you remember Joe, stand up, Chuck, is not only leading the field for the 2020 Democrat presidential nomination by 10 points, he's earning an average of 29% support in a field of a dozen. It'd be a baker's dozen if you include him. In other words, nearly one in three Democrat primary voters support Biden. Here's the fly in the ointment, okay? The Biden wing, the Hillary wing, if you will, no longer controls the Democrat Party. This is a party of Tom Perez, who's the DNC chairman. He is as hardcore socialist progressive as you get. And that's one reason why the party has been converted to Democrat socialist slash Marxist. The story from Breitbart continues. Nonetheless, despite Biden's steady level of support, far-left CNN put together a focus group where not one person in the group supported Biden. Now, why would CNN, you know, the collusion news network, this is the party of the socialist Marxist. So you would think they would want a winner, which not somebody that would the Democrats feel has a fighting chance against Trump. No, not if he's not far left enough for their taste. So they are subtly working to ensure that Biden doesn't get a shot, similar to the way they rigged the game for Hillary last time around when Bernie was running. This phony focus group consisted of exactly six people who were dragged out of bed to appear on CNN's failing morning show. And I use the word phony with confidence because a focus group is supposed to represent a cross-section of people. And if CNN had been at all interested in presenting a cross-section using six measly people, at least two, according to the polls, would have expressed support for Joe Biden. So Allison Camerata asked a panel of six Dems, how many of you would like to see Joe Biden get in? Show of hands. Honk. Nobody. Nobody raises their hand. It's just, crickets. His time is done, said one panelist. Wow. I thought that was Hillary. Instead, in what can only be described as a rigged focus group, all six said Biden should not run. Exactly the kind of headline CNN wants to generate. Biden really comes from the good old boy politics of the past, said another. Good old boy. Ouch. As in old, right? A third genius, even though wages are rising, unemployment is historically low and optimism is hitting record levels, said, I don't think Joe Biden represents that new thing that we need. We need a new economy. Yeah, a new economy. That's certainly what we need. Policies favored by the financial elites, forging alliances with Wall Street and the political right to notch legislative victories that ran counter to the populist ideas that now animate his party. If he declares for the presidency, Biden will face a Democrat electorate that has moved on from his brand of politics, which means the title of the CNN piece is not accurate. Biden's problem is not Biden. Biden's problem is he is not left-wing enough for Huffington Post, for CNN, for the craziest of the crazies in the Democrat base. Nobody in that stupid focus group supports Biden. The problem is that CNN rigged the focus group so that, guess what? Nobody would support Biden. Jeez. Yeah. Any questions about the American media being broken? 529 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Annie's ready to go in the news center. Right back on the other side with a couple of exemplars, not a full edition, but a couple of exemplars of Boneheads in the News on the way next. Welcome back. 5:37 now, 23 before 6 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Boneheads is on the way. In on the text line first. Bobby, I'm surprised that AOC, when asked about the dark money, didn't respond by saying, oh, well, all my money is green. Gotcha. Bobby, I saw three brains for sale on the internet. Brain surgeon, $3,000. Rocket scientist brain, $3,000. Alexandria occasional cortex brain, $300,000. Why so much more for Cortez brain? Because it has never been used. Bobby, is it right to hope that Joe Biden drinks himself to elsewhere every time he sees himself 10 points ahead? Oh, wait, what am I thinking? Yeah, Bobby, Joe Biden, the man who gave us gun-free zones. All right. Anything else? I think I'm... historically, when Republican politicians get stupid, Republican voters stay home from the polls and let Democrats win. Who would have ever thought that Republican politicians would love exactly that? Yeah, sadly. Okay, here we go. All set. Let's get into... Actually, I do have today's full edition in its entirety of...
Boneheads in the News.
And we got some real winners in here today. What was it yesterday we were talking about, Moneypenny? A Florida man. Here it is from Fox News, and sure enough, it begins. A Florida man was caught at Pennsylvania's Lehigh Valley International Airport on Monday trying to bring an RPG onto a flight in his checked luggage. That is a military-grade rocket-propelled grenade launcher. One way to get yourself launched out of the airport pretty quick. Ay, ay, ay. TSA checked the bag after it triggered an alarm, discovered the unassembled parts of the weapon, barrel, trigger, sights, and grenade. Holy cow. A St. Augustine, Florida resident was detained by police for questioning. Officers discovered the grenade launcher was not a functioning weapon, but a replica. The man reportedly told officials he thought he could bring the item along in a check bag. It just goes to show how wrong you could be. Who else is in Boneheads for today? Hang on, let me quickly scroll down to our list. Oh, yeah. Yeah, here we go. A guy in Wisconsin decided it would be fun to prank his neighbor while he was watching her dogs, so he put on a panda suit and walked around in the snow by her security cameras. Another neighbor saw it and, no, I don't know why, decided to call 911 to report it.
Whiskey, go 911. And do you have a description of the person?
It's a big teddy bear.
It's a big what? I'm sorry?
Teddy bear. Honest to God.
Somebody dressed as a teddy bear?
Yep.
Okay, we do have officers that are going to be in the area in just a moment.
I knew that my neighbors had a security camera set up. And I thought, well, I'm going to make the ordinary extraordinary. I'm going to dress up in the panda outfit. So just as I was about to pivot up and walk up my lawn, I turn around and I see at least three squad cars with a fourth and a fifth coming. I paid about $125 for this costume. I'm going to get my money's worth.
Well, I don't blame you. You know, you paid the money for it. That's another question entirely, why you would pay $125 for a panda costume. But hey, you know, felt like the right thing to do at the time. Why would the neighbor call 911 because somebody's walking around in a panda suit? In any event, guy in business class flipped out. He was on an Air Canada flight from Vancouver to Toronto on Saturday, and he went to DEFCON 1 because they ran out of fish. That's the on-flight meal. They were still on the tarmac, but he became verbally abusive and wouldn't accept any other meal options. So the plane had to taxi back to get the guy off, and, well, it actually got worse from there, believe it or not.
One passenger tweeting, "Our flight AC-118 was turned around on the runway and returned to gate due to an unruly passenger that didn't get the meal he wanted." CTV has spoken to three passengers who say the man in business class became verbally abusive after he was informed he couldn't have fish for dinner. The man was escorted off the plane. Air Canada says by then, the crew was too close to their duty day limits, so a new crew had to be found.
Of course.
The flight ended up landing around 5 hours late.
Ay, ay, ay. Now, this begs the question. Who wants fish on your flight anyway? I mean, did this guy never see airplane?
Dr. Room, Mr. Hammond ate fish, and Randy said there are 5 more cases, and they all had fish, too.
Yeah, the co-pilot had fish.
Yeah.
What did the navigator have?
He had fish.
All right. Now we know what we're up against. Every passenger on this plane will have fish for dinner. Will become violently ill in the next half hour.
OMG.
Just how serious is it, Doctor?
Extremely serious. Starts with a slight fever, dryness of the throat. As the virus penetrates the red blood cells, the victim becomes dizzy. Begins to experience an itching, a rash. From there, the poison goes to work on the central nervous system, causing severe muscle spasms, followed by the inevitable drooling. At this point, the entire digestive system collapses, accompanied by uncontrollable flatulence, until finally the poor bastard is reduced to a quivering, wasted piece of jelly.
Poor old Peter Graves, suffering all the effects, as Dr. Leslie Nielsen describes him. See, I told you, stay away from the fish. You really don't want the fish. And finally, we end up relatively close to home. A South Carolina mayor immediately proclaimed herself to be a victim of what else? Racism. After finding her car defaced. Police, though, had a different explanation after looking into the incident. Darnell Bird McPherson, mayor of Lamar, South Carolina, quickly assumed she had been the victim of a hate crime after finding a yellow, sticky substance painted over her and her husband's cars recently. McPherson told the media the substance got in all of the grooves of the autos that were sitting outside the couple's home. "My husband went out to the car to get some things out of the garage. He said, 'Hey, somebody's painted your car.'" McPherson added that a neighbor also alerted her to the substance. The incident caused her to assume she had been a victim of a hate crime. "I likened it as a hate crime because, number one, there's a history in our town of Lamar, harkening back over 40 years when she claims that burning crosses were commonly seen in the area. It ignited some fear in my spirit. My God, who would do that? It was something. It was just unnerving to me." Well, police immediately looked into the situation. But they came up with a different explanation other than racism. Darlington County Sheriff's Lieutenant Robbie Kilgo reported that with spring awakening in the area, we found it to be pollen.
Oh!
There was no reason for us to collect a sample. State agency also felt the mayor's claims were a bit overwrought. SLED decided against opening any investigation into the incident, saying, "We do not believe a crime occurred." Yeah, yellow, sticky substance somebody had painted their cars.
What a maroon. What an ignoramus.
Yeah, what a nincompoop. Okay, there you go. There is today's edition of
Boneheads in the News.
14 before 6. And she's the mayor. Wow.
McClain.
In the flesh, 551, 9 before 6 here on the Bobby Mac Show, in on my text line, 71307. Bobby, don't be too shocked. It is, after all, Lamar. Bobby, thanks for the laugh. Airplane, all-time favorite movie. Another texter merely added, "Looks like I picked the wrong day to stop sniffing glue." Bobby, all these accidents, and we haven't even had the time change yet. Yeah, that's all right. You know, this weekend. Isn't that right? We spring forward this weekend?
Yeah.
Bob, AOC is the true definition of an educated idiot. Bobby, after hearing Senator Rand Paul defend the Koch brothers a couple of days ago, no wonder why he's against the wall. He and his kind stink. And I believe that catches me up with a text line. There was a fascinating interview the other day. David Asman was filling in for Cavuto on Coast to Coast, and he was talking with the brilliant economist, now retired from Stanford University. Economist Thomas Sowell. And Dr. Sowell was talking about socialism and the resurgence of this failed economic system compared to capitalism. Here's a bit of what he had to say. Wait a second. It apparently doesn't want to play, so let me Moneypenny crank it down for just a second because it may play the ad again here before we get to the soundbite from Dr. Sowell. Let me see. Anytime, computer, anytime. Here we go. All right. We got the ad first. Hang on just a second. This thing will run for about 15 seconds. Dr. Sowell, of course, is a brilliant economist and has been arguing for the benefits of capitalism over essentially every other system for decades. Here's part of the interview.
Over socialism heightening as Americans watch tragedy unfold in Venezuela. Legendary economist Thomas Sowell, the author of Discrimination and Disparities, a new and enlarged edition on the growing socialism movement right here in the United States. Professor Sowell, wonderful to see you again. Thank you very much for being here.
I'm good to be with you.
You have spent a lifetime, literally, using specific evidence to disprove bad economic policies. With all of the evidence about socialism, the failure of its economic model, not to mention its barbarism in the 20th century, are you surprised at its resurgence right here in the United States?
A little bit, but unfortunately, neither our educational system nor the media encourage people to test ideas against facts. Socialism is a wonderful sounding idea. It's only as a reality that it's disastrous.
You yourself, I mean, as a student, I understand, were kind of drawn towards socialist ideas. So you wrote a book on Marxism.
I was a Marxist.
Yeah, yeah. People still quote your book on Marxism as not wholly negative. In fact, you saw a lot of positive things about it. What turned you against that model?
Facts. Before I was a Marxist, I was an empiricist, and I stayed an empiricist. And with the passing years, as I looked into more and more things, I saw the difference between reality and the rhetoric. Unfortunately, so many people today, including in the leading universities, don't pay much attention to evidence.
Now, do you think the facts and the evidence about socialism will sink in before it turns into actual policies that are presented in the United States?
I would hope so, but I really don't think so, because what is known already is sufficient. When you see people starving in Venezuela and fleeing into neighboring countries and realize that this is a country that once had the world's largest oil reserves, you realize that they've ruined a very good prospect with ideas that sounded good but didn't turn out well.
You know, the answer always is when you point to examples of socialism that turns at the very least into horrible economic conditions, at worst into barbarism, they always say, well, that was a special instance. Venezuela has a very different culture than the United States. It could never happen here. How do you respond to that?
Well, these specialists, in fact, I would say, looking at it in a worldwide perspective, these so-called exceptions are almost universal on every continent, among people of every race, color, creed, and whatever.
What do you make of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? She has this growing movement, even among some people who historically haven't been particularly persuaded by the socialist meme. I mean, but there's something about her that seems to be very popular. Do you think it's going to continue, or will she fall flat?
I don't know. Again, it depends upon whether people go by facts or by rhetoric. If they go by rhetoric, she's a rising star.
Yeah, pretty pathetic that people don't actually study the history of socialism across the planet and the tyranny that goes along with it. Stand by. There's one more still to go. Bonus hour remains here on Tuesday on the Bobby Mack Show on WORD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.